Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, 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 it's Monty, and you are in the right place because you have found the best show on the internet.
No, 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 this is terrible.
Sit back, but don't relax because I am about to crush your skull. And that's exactly what I plan to do every time I do one of these podcasts, because I am a man on a mission. And that mission is, I'm not completely sure, but I believe it's got something to do with bringing fun and excitement to computers and iPods everywhere.
Woo!
And if you stick with me through this entire show, I promise you will not regret it.
I can't do it.
How about this? If you make it through half the show, I'll throw in some balloons and pony rides for the kids.
Yeah, no.
Well, just listen for 10 minutes. Without turning it off, and I will give everyone a free cookie.
Okay, I'll do it.
All right.
But I won't like it.
On today's show, you're going to get some cool tunes, some top tens, and some new segments. But let's get to some of your questions for me with a little
Ask Monty.
Ask Monty.
Did you have a question?
Ask Monty.
Ask Monty.
Ask Monty.
Let me ask you a question.
Ask Monty.
The question, jerk!
Forgive me for referring to myself in the third person because I hate when people do that, but I didn't know what else to call the segment, so I just call it Ask Monty.
Pure arrogance.
The first question comes from Thomas in New Jersey, and he says, Monty, I know you went to school for art. Did you ever have any formal music training? Well, Thomas, no, I did not. I had a couple of guitar lessons early on, but after that, I just pretty much locked myself in my bedroom with some Thin Lizzy albums, and that was it. I'm just a self-taught musician who plays by ear. I don't really know theory, and I don't read music.
Basically, you're an idiot.
What I do know is I have riffs and melodies going through my head. And for some reason, I've been blessed with the ability to put those in the forms of songs. So I may not be the smartest or most talented player, but I am creative, and I've got a lot of passion, and I definitely do know how to rock. I eat, live, and breathe this stuff, and you can go to the best music school in the world, but if it's not pouring out of your veins, it's gonna show.
That's very deep, don't you think?
Next up is Jimmy the Freak, and he says, Monty, I don't have a top 10 list for you, but I wanted to ask you what would be the top 10 bands you'd like to play for today if the opportunity was there. He thinks Metallica would be a good choice, but overall he doesn't think I get enough credit as a bass player.
That's crapola.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate the kind words. But I don't know about Metallica. If you'd asked me that about 20 years ago, I'd have been all for it. But I don't really like their music that much anymore. I also wouldn't want to play for somebody like Dream Theater or Dragon Force, where I had to sit there and count and think about everything. But I will give you a list of bands that I would like to play with, starting with AC/DC.
Yeah!
However, the only problem with that is a couple of years ago, I tried out for an AC/DC tribute band, and they were like, well, you're a great bass player and a great singer, but you're not what we're looking for.
Go!
It would also be cool to play in one of my favorite bands of all time, like Killswitch Engage, and I've always wanted to play in the Wild Hearts with Ginger. But then again, I believe he lives in England, so that might be a problem.
Really? You think so?
A couple of others that I thought of were Helmet and Static X because of the riffs. I love that heavy stuff, and I would love to play that. Also, Paradise Lost would be cool. They're real goth and heavy, And that would be nice, but they also live in England, so maybe not. I also thought of some bands you might not expect me to say, like Jason and the Scorchers. It's sort of a country rock kind of thing, but I would go nuts on stage playing with Jason. And I mean that in a good way.
Take these chains and set me free. Release me from this misery. Now don't you waste your time with your alibis, because your heart can't hide what I see in your eyes. You're telling white lies, you're telling white lies. Look, I can see right through that thin disguise. Can't you tell, I can tell when you're telling white lies.
Somebody else you might not expect me to say is Joan Jett. I've liked her music for a long time, but every time I see her live, her bass player just stands there and looks bored. And if I was in her band, I would bring a whole new intensity. So, Joan Jett, give me a call.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Now, a dream gig would be something like the Foo Fighters. It rocks pretty hard, they seem like they have a good time, and they're playing arenas. That would be sweet.
Ain't gonna happen.
And finally, the band I would probably fit in the best with is Galactic Cowboys.
Hell yeah!
But I don't believe they're together anymore, so never mind. But thanks for the cool question, Jimmy the Freak.
Isn't the name terrific?
Next, I got an email from a new friend on Facebook named Jeff Reese. And he says, Monty, I'm a huge fan of your music and was wondering if you were to put together a compilation of your favorite songs by Galactic Cowboys, which ones would you choose?
None.
Well, Jeff, interesting question, and I guess we'd all have a different list. But if I were going to make a compilation album of my personal favorite Galactic Cowboys songs, I'd probably start with the first album, and I'd pick Not Amused. Even though it was a really weird song, it'll always hold a sentimental place in my heart because it was the first single, the first video, and kind of described who we were.
Weirdos!
I'd also pick Sea of Tranquility off the first album because I still love that riff. Off the second album, Space in Your Face, I would pick You Make Me Smile, If I Were a Killer, and About Mrs. Leslie. That whole CD was great, but those are the ones that I liked playing live the most.
Wow, none of this really matters.
Off Machine Fish, I would actually pick four songs. 9th of June, Psychotic Companion, Feel the Rage, and Stress. I still love playing Stress, and that's pretty much how I still feel every day.
Yeah, it's so sad.
Off the Horse That Bud Bought CD, I would pick Tilt-A-Whirl, and in a surprise pick, I'm going to go with You've Changed. If I'm not mistaken, we only played that live one time, but still one of my favorite songs that I've ever written. From the CD At the End of the Day, I'm gonna pick Nothing to Say and Never Understand. But if I really had my way, I'd just put the whole Machine Fish suite on there.
That's very bold of you.
And that would leave us with the final CD, which was Let It Go.
Let It Go?
Yeah, and off that one, I would pick T.I.M., Swimming in December, and a personal favorite, Internalize. So those are my picks for a Galactic Cowboy compilation album, and you may not agree with me, and it's very possible you don't even know who Galactic Cowboys were.
No, I don't.
Regardless, thanks to Jeff Reese for that question, and we now move on to the next one, which is from Dan the Man Cunningham, and he says, "Hey Monty, which do you prefer, the Doobie Brothers in the Michael McDonald period or the Tom Johnston era?"
It's the simplest question in the world.
Well, that's a tough one, Dan, because on the one hand, you've got the earlier stuff with Tom Johnston that was a little more rockin', but I'm not sure I need to hear China Grove ever again. That's one of those songs that if it comes on the radio, I make it through dan-dan, chicka-chicka-dan-dan, and it's off.
You're intolerant.
On the other hand, with Michael McDonald, you got the whole, taking it to the street, and that wasn't very rocking at all, and they sounded like a totally different band. But if you held a gun to my head and forced me to pick between the two versions of the Doobie Brothers, I would probably go with neither.
Well, that seems mean.
But thanks for the email, Dan.
Mean.
Next is a sports question from Paul Morgan, who says, "Hey, Monty, what do you think of the Kansas City Chiefs hiring Andy Reid?" Well, I'll tell you, Paul, it was a horrible season for the Chiefs. They completely sucked. And by the end of the year, I wanted them to fire the entire coaching staff, the general manager, and most of the players. So they did fire the coach and the GM, and I think that's a good start. Now, would I rather have John Gruden or Bill Cowher? Yeah, but Andy Reid is a huge upgrade from what we had, and I'm hopeful. The Chiefs need a franchise quarterback. We've got the first pick in the draft, but in typical Chiefs fashion, we picked the one year where there weren't any franchise quarterbacks coming out of college.
Losers.
But regardless of who they pick, I'm sure the guy will be a huge bust, and the Chiefs will suck again next year.
You're absolutely right.
And finally, I got this alarming and frankly disturbing question from Cohen in Canada, who says, "I saw on the iTunes store a piano tribute to Five Finger Death Punch. Monty, what is this world coming to?"
I mean, it's horrible.
Well, I know what you're saying, man, and believe me, these are scary times that we are living in.
My God, we're in trouble.
But we shouldn't be surprised, because stuff like this has been prophesied.
I'm so freaked out.
I think it was Nostradamus or somebody like that who predicted that in the end times, there would be tribute albums to bands who didn't even deserve it.
Oh, I mean, my God, hell's going to be released on everybody.
And now, here it is. It's happening.
Heaven help us. This is going to be so horrible.
A tribute album to Five Finger Death Punch? I mean, who's next? Bang Tango?
And enough's enough!
I mean, the next thing you're going to tell me is somebody did a bluegrass tribute to Def Leppard.
Pour some sugar on me.
In the name of love.
Pour some sugar on me.
Oh my God, the end is near.
Help me!
Oh well, thanks for your questions. This has been Ask Monty.
In the name of love, pour some sugar on me.
Get on, come and get it.
Pour your sugar on me.
only thing worse than a bluegrass tribute to Def Leppard is the fact that I find myself kind of liking that.
This is wonderful.
In fact, what do you say we listen to some more of that?
Yes, more!
I got a feeling in my blood. Oh. I need your touch, don't need your love. Whoa, and I want, and I need, and I lust, and I'm more.
The name of the CD is called Pickin' on Def Leppard, and it's done by somebody named Cornbread Red, and they're actually not too bad.
Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages, still rolling, keep rolling. Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages, still rolling, rock and rolling.
You know, I'm not really into bluegrass or country, but I would rather listen to this than the actual Def Leppard.
Fooling, ah, fooling. Won't you stay with me a while?
So if you like Def Leppard, or you hate Def Leppard, either way, this album is good for a laugh.
Photograph, I don't want your photograph. I don't need your photograph. All I've got is a photograph.
Well, I bet you never thought you'd hear bluegrass on this podcast. But it just goes to show you, you never know what to expect from me. For example, right about now, you may be expecting me to talk about music, but no. Instead, I'm going to do a new segment that I like to call What's on TV? That's right, while you're spending time with your family and being productive, I'm watching television. And I'll be honest, here lately, there's not much on worth watching. And I'll find myself having to be entertained by some of the most worthless crap imaginable. Like this show called Duck Dynasty. Have you seen this?
No.
It's this reality show where these hillbilly rednecks became millionaires. And it's not really that real because the whole thing seems scripted. But it's kind of funny and they've got the really cool ZZ Top looking beards. And I wish I could grow one like that, but I still can't grow hair on certain parts of my face.
That's crazy!
Now, if you're the kind of person who is sick and tired of Sally Struthers telling you to donate money to starving kids in Africa, may I suggest Man vs. Food. In this fine program, slightly overweight competitive eater Adam Richman travels around the country and sees how much food he can possibly put away in a half an hour. One week, he'll be in Philadelphia eating a cheesesteak. But instead of just eating one sandwich like a normal human would, they'll make him eat five, pour a bucket of chili on top of it, and finish it off with 3 pounds of fries.
I'm about to vomit.
If Adam can finish the entire thing within a specified time limit, he gets a free t-shirt and his name on the wall.
Whoa.
It's a delightful celebration of gluttony, and it's why the terrorists hate America.
That's fabulous.
Now, if that's not enough to make you sick to your stomach, you might want to check out a show called My Strange Addiction.
I have to throw up.
If I'm having a day where I'm feeling like I'm a weirdo, I just watch My Strange Addiction, and by the end of it, I'm feeling completely sane. Apparently, alcoholism, gambling, pornography, and crack just don't cut it for some people.
Crazy sickos.
Seems there are those who have stepped it up a notch in the world of obsession. And they just can't catch a nice buzz unless they eat some cat food, detergent, or the cushions out of their sofa.
Delicious!
However, I had to hand it to this one girl who looked to be about 20 years old, who decided that she actually likes the taste of gasoline.
Mmm, I love it, love it, love it.
Fortunately for her, she did go to the doctor by the end of the show, and the doctor gave her the shocking news that that's probably gonna kill you.
No!
Yeah, who knew?
What a surprise.
Now, you may think that I will watch anything, but I draw the line at Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
It's everlasting torment.
If you've never seen this hunk of crap, consider yourself lucky, but it can best be described as white trash on acid.
Yeah.
Somebody ought to stick a sock in that little kid's mouth. But as for her mom, well, I don't like to call people ugly because I believe we're all beautiful in some way, but that woman looks like a lab experiment gone wrong.
I heard that.
It's as if scientists were trying to create a human thumb, but they ended up with a big blob of goo with a revolting personality. And I have to say that every time she comes on screen, I have to turn my head and look the other way.
You are mean!
Of course, you know I like shows about music, but where have they gone? The Fuse Network used to have some really cool stuff, but apparently they've run out of ideas. And the other night I watched back-to-back episodes of Ex-Wives of Rock Stars and Warped Roadies.
That is so incredibly exciting.
Yeah, I guess there's nothing interesting about musicians anymore, so we'll just find the ex-wives of people like Janie Lane and Vince Neil, put the cameras on them, and watch nothing happen.
Wow! That sounds great!
Yeah, it's kind of sad, really. These are hot chicks that used to be hot, but time and way too many trips to the plastic surgeon have taken their toll. And you know a show is bad when they have women on stripper poles and I'm not interested.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, it is.
However, if for some reason you've just been dying to know what it's like to be a roadie on the Warped Tour, well, the show Warped Roadies will give you a behind-the-scenes look at what it's like to be on the road, check mics, and set up merchandise tents.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah, it's just thrilling.
Oh, pinch me.
Now, even on those nights when it appears that there is nothing good on TV at all, you've still got commercials.
That's right.
And even though I don't watch many commercials since the invention of the DVR, a few of them still catch my interest. Case in point, have you seen the one for Geico with Eddie Money as a travel agent and he's singing Two Tickets to Paradise? Oh my God, what happened to that guy? He looks bad. I mean, did they get him off the street or something?
It's scary.
And it's a shame because I used to like Eddie Money. I saw him and Van Halen open for Kansas in 1978. But I guess the Eddie Money has lost its value since then, and now he looks like he needs to get off the meth.
Well, yeah.
Then again, maybe Eddie's just not feeling good because it's cold and flu season.
Ah, there you go.
Well, at least that's what I hear, and I do see a commercial for cold and flu medicine about every 5 minutes. And they say that stuff is supposed to cure your aches and pains, but I'm not sure I believe it because it never works for me. And the other day I was even more skeptical when I saw a commercial for some flu medicine, and they said the side effects may cause vomiting and diarrhea. In other words, don't worry, if you don't have the flu yet, here's some medicine that'll make you feel that way.
Awesome.
Of course, there are products that really don't need to have commercials, namely tampons and laxatives. I'm sure we could figure all that out on our own, but those ads invariably pop up on the TV screen when you're on a hot date or at a family reunion.
Awkward.
And one last thing, I don't care what it is you're trying to sell me, if a side effect for using it is rectal bleeding, I don't want it.
Me neither.
And that, my friends, is what's on TV. It's cold outside here in Missouri, but things are starting to heat up as we get closer and closer to the top 10 playoffs. This is the part of the show where I read top 10 lists sent in by you, the listeners. If I read your list on the show, you're going to the top 10 playoffs where you are eligible for an amazing prize package. Today's list comes to us from female Rockcast listener Sarah Leonard. And Sarah has compiled a list of the top 10 ugliest musicians ever.
Oh, that is so nice.
Now, her honorable mentions were Willie Nelson, Meatloaf, Lyle Lovett, Devin Townsend, Courtney Love, Sean Morgan, Seal, and Gigi Allen. Apparently, none of those people were quite ugly enough. But making her top 10, starting out at 10, is Marilyn Manson.
Ugh.
There's a guy that works really hard at looking really scary, and mission accomplished.
There's no doubt about it.
Number 9 is Lady Gaga without makeup.
Good night, Irene. This is frightening.
Yeah, even with makeup, she's nothing to look at. But what a complete and total ripoff of Madonna.
Gaga.
Number 8 is Christian Lorenz from Rammstein.
Ugly.
Number 7 is all members of GWAR. And number 6 is Rick Ocasek.
Not good.
Yeah, he's not real easy on the eyes, but he's very talented. And the last I heard, he was still married to a model. So I guess looks aren't everything.
You don't say.
Number 5 is jazz legend Miles Davis. And number 4 is Lemmy from Motorhead.
I love him!
What, Sarah? You don't like facial moles? I recall Cindy Crawford having a mole.
Ooh, hot.
Oh, hot. Yeah, right. That's hot. That is hot.
Number 3 from Motley Crue, Mick Mars.
That guy is dead.
Yeah, these days, instead of Motley Crue, Mick Mars should probably go play with Slipknot or Mushroom Head and just conceal his real identity.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Number 2 from the Rolling Stones, Keith Richards.
Right.
It's funny to think he outlived Whitney Houston and Michael Jackson and probably took way more drugs than both of them combined. And finally, at the top of Sarah's list, and the ugliest musician ever, Shane McGowan from the Pogues. Well, great job, Sarah. A tremendous list. And thank you for reminding us that you don't have to be pretty to rock.
You sure about that?
Oh, yeah. Remember when you used to be able to look like Joe Cocker and you could still have a career?
Yeah!
Well, not anymore. MTV came along and made sure everyone had a cool haircut and looked like a model. And instead of Janis Joplin, we got Britney Spears. But I say it's high time we change all that, because you ought to be able to be a big, fat, ugly slob and still have a hit record.
Yeah! Woo!
Now, who's with me? Oh. All right. Well, never mind. Okay, I've answered your questions and I've read your top tens. And right now you're probably saying, Monty, enough about us. We want to hear you talk about yourself.
That's not true!
Well, believe me, I wish I could, but not when I've got a new segment of Rapid Fire Emails and Facebook Feedback.
What the hell is going on here?
Just like you fall behind in listening to my episodes, I fall behind in reading your emails.
That's right, you're a jerk.
So allow me now as I do a little catching up, and let's see what you guys have to say. Starting with Rick Messner on Facebook, who agreed with me about Chris Cornell's voice. He said, I know I'm supposed to like it, but I just don't. Well, cool. Thanks, Rick. I'm glad to hear there's at least one other person besides me.
You're being stupid.
Now, several of you, including Stephen Hines, agreed that, yes, you like Electric Light Orchestra like I do, but Anthony in New Jersey apparently doesn't like them at all. However, he does agree with me about the new Tourniquet album and says what I played on the show sounded god-awful.
What do you mean by that?
On the same subject of Tourniquet, Patrick Wolf sent me an email and informed me that they were once again discussing me on the Christian Metal Forum.
Oh, nerds!
Oh yeah, these are the same guys who about a year ago were saying they hate my podcast, hate my voice, and now I guess a couple of them weren't too happy that I was, quote, slamming the new Tourniquet CD. However, the discussion soon turned from Tourniquet to my personal spiritual beliefs, in which I was judged, pitied, and stereotyped as a musician who would rather spend his time writing songs and touring than getting to know God.
God should send you to hell.
Of course, these guys use screen names, so you never know who they actually are. But one guy said, and I quote, "Man is a rebel sinner, so it's Monty's heart that's the problem."
You're evil.
Oh, okay, well thanks, dude. I don't know how it is you know my heart since I've never met you, but it's good to know you have all the answers because I sure don't. But it's crap like that that makes me never want to go back to church ever again.
You're of the devil.
I also don't plan on going to the Christian Metal Realm message board anymore. But some guy named Tommy Zombie on there said that he'd be praying for me, and I appreciate it, Mr. Zombie.
I mean, come on.
No, seriously, I do.
Rot in hell.
Getting back to the email from Patrick Wolf, he told me that back in 91, he saw Galactic Cowboys open for Overkill in Tijuana, Mexico. It was at a club named Iguanas, and apparently Patrick and his Marine Corps buddies had quite a night. He said one of his friends almost broke his arm at the show, but they really enjoyed it and Galactic Cowboys won him over. Well, I thought that was interesting that Patrick would mention Iguanas in Mexico, because I will never forget that night either.
Now he has a story to tell, and what a story.
We'd been on tour with Overkill for a couple of months, and every day it just got worse and worse. For some reason, they did not like us, and every night their sound checks kept getting longer and longer, and they would end up just cutting time off of our set. Well, when we got to Tijuana, it was a really cool club, and it was packed out with metalheads, but we waited and waited in our dressing room, and right before we went on, we were told, "Oh yeah, you can only play 15 minutes tonight." So we walked on, played three or four songs, kicked everyone's ass, and then walked off the stage. And to this day, I had no idea if anyone really enjoyed that show, but apparently Patrick did.
Hey, that's a funny story.
There was also a discussion on Facebook when my girlfriend Lindsay posted a picture of me, and I was wearing an Andrew WK t-shirt. Edwin, who lives in Canada, said, "Monty, I like your t-shirt. Whatever happened to Andrew WK?
Who is he?"
Well, Edwin, I recently saw him on a late night show, like Jimmy Fallon or something like that. And it was pretty cool. He had like five guitar players in his band. And it was just good to see that he was still out there. But the other day I went to his website and I found out he's going on tour in March. But of course, he's completely skipping Kansas City.
Because he's a schmuck, that's why.
But you might want to check and see if he's coming anywhere near you, because he is a great performer.
Screw that guy!
Now, the other thing I found out by going to the Andrew WK website is that he actually has some CDs out that I didn't know anything about. As you know, I love his I Get Wet CD. That was a classic. And then he put out an album called The Wolf, which I was not crazy about. And then I went the next 10 years without hearing anything else. So I was excited to hear some new stuff, and I got my hands on an album from 2006 called Close Calls with Brick Walls. A lot of this is similar to I Get Wet, except not nearly as good. It's high energy and it's fun, but most of the lyrics are about partying. And yeah, I get it. Okay, whatever. It's what it is. Sometimes you need to go loco. Sometimes you need to explode. When we're slow, when the camera rolls and the television says, sometimes you need to go crazy. And other times you need to go crazier. Night out, can you hear me shout? Saying that's what I'm talking about. I wanna see you go wild. I wanna see you go wild. I wanna see you go wild. I also got an email from Ken in Manitoba, and he wrote to tell me that Fender is shutting down Hamer guitars. And as I told you on the last episode, I used to play Hamer basses. I had an 8-string and a 12-string. And even though I took those things on tour and played them in front of people all over the United States and in Europe and promoted the hell out of Hamer, they never gave me an endorsement. In fact, the most I ever got out of Hamer was a couple of t-shirts. So I do not feel sorry for Hamer, and I'm not surprised they're shutting their doors. They made some cool stuff, but to be honest, I ended up buying a couple of Zahn basses that blew those Hamers away.
Brutal!
So if you're looking for a cool bass, check out Zahn, it's spelled Z-O-N. And if you're looking for a cool website, you might check out metaltalk.net.
Why would you want to do that?
Rockcast listener Jeff Koons emailed me a link to that site where he did a review of my Loserville CD. I checked it out. It's a really cool site, and I appreciate the plug from Jeff.
Oh, yeah, you know, whatever.
And finally, Brian in Nottingham wrote to say that he liked that I played The Pursuit of Happiness at the end of the last episode, and that the Rockcast is essential listening in the UK.
Oh, yes, it is.
Well, thanks, Brian. It's great to hear from you, and it's great to know that people across the pond are listening. In fact, I appreciate that all of you are listening, and thanks again for your emails and comments. All right, in the past, I've done segments where I talk about myself and I complain about things, but today I'm going to do something a little bit different in a brand new segment that I'm going to call Screw You! That's right, Screw You! A segment that's nothing like That's Just Me, My Least Favorite Things, or I'm Just Saying. No, this is where I'm gonna talk about stuff that really pisses me off. And first up, Apple updates. If you're a person who owns a PC, then you've got your own set of problems. You're constantly dealing with viruses and Windows and all that crap. And you think just because I own a Mac computer that I don't have any problems. Well, I probably wouldn't if the geniuses at Apple would stop forcing me to make updates every other day. I'm not sure why, but it seems like every time I get used to something, they want to change it. I used to use iWeb, they got rid of it. I used to have MobileMe, that went away. I had all this cool stuff on my phone. Update, it's gone. And then a month or so ago, they came out with a new iTunes update. I was perfectly happy with my iTunes the way it was, but there it is, they keep telling you, you gotta update. So I downloaded it, and suddenly everything started acting weird. My GarageBand software couldn't locate iTunes. I look all over the internet for answers. No, nobody knows. So I ended up taking everything out of iTunes, putting it on an external, erasing everything in iTunes, and then putting it all back. This process took about 10 hours, after which I discovered I no longer had any playlists.
Come on!
So thanks for all the constant updates, Apple. And by the way, screw you! Remember back before the election, Obama said he wasn't going to raise taxes on the middle class and that he was just going to go after those evil rich people.
Of course.
Well, apparently he changed his mind.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, I don't know how the U.S. economy is supposed to improve when the government keeps taking away so much that we don't have any money to buy anything. And I swear to God, the IRS just continues to hammer me, even though I don't make jack crap for a living.
Well, boo-hoo.
I'll give you an example. Back in 2011, I worked 1 month for this company in Kansas. I worked on some really big projects for the Kansas City Chiefs and the Royals, and I made really good money for that month. But come tax time, the IRS stuck me for almost $700. So I had to go on a monthly payment plan for the next year, and just about the time I thought I had it all caught up, they gouged me for another $150 for interest. No wonder people want to just stay unemployed or live on welfare.
I know, it's mind-boggling.
So to the IRS,
screw you!
I don't think the government just wants to control our money. I get the idea they'd like to control everything we do. For a while there, it was health care, and now all they want to talk about is banning guns. And the president can try and change the Constitution if he wants to, but just because you make something illegal doesn't mean people aren't going to get it. Prohibition didn't stop people from getting alcohol, and marijuana is illegal in most states, but do you know anybody that smokes pot?
Yeah!
I think everybody smokes pot, except me.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
The point is, banning guns is not going to stop criminals from getting them, nor should they be taken away from law-abiding citizens who want to protect themselves. But everyone's freaking out right now, and the liberal media is gonna tell you that you're a bad person if you even think about owning a gun. I mean, I can't even watch sports without hearing it. At halftime of a football game the other night, Bob Costas starts talking about how we really don't need guns. And right before I was about to throw my remote through the TV screen, I thought, you know, Bob, it's not really up to you or the government to tell us what we need, especially when it's a right protected under the Constitution. So, Bob Costas,
screw you!
In something less political, but just as irritating, my girlfriend Lindsay and I were gonna get married this past December. We had the whole thing planned out. We had plane tickets to Miami. We were gonna get married on the beach and then get on a boat and go on what was called the Mayhem Festival Cruise. It was supposed to last 3 days. It was gonna be our honeymoon, and on the ship was Lamb of God, Anthrax, and about 10 other bands. We were so excited to go. It was going to be totally metal, and it was all paid for. We'd been saving up for this. Lindsay made all the arrangements, and then a couple of months before it happened, we got an email that said the whole thing was canceled.
Yeah,
no explanations, just not gonna happen.
And I'm angry about it!
We did get a refund for the cruise, but not for the plane tickets. And Delta Airlines told us that we had to use those tickets within the year, and when we did, we would be charged an extra $300 for a changing fee. So our wedding was ruined, and even though we have new wedding plans for May, I've still got to say to Mayhem Festival Cruises and Delta Airlines,
screw you!
Speaking of my girlfriend Lindsay, here she is now with the news.
Hey, hey, hey!
Hey, you sexy thing, what do you got for us today?
Well, Monty, in the world of sports, ESPN has apologized for comments made by broadcaster Brent Musburger.
Brent Musburger? What did he do?
During the national championship game between Alabama and Notre Dame, the camera landed on Alabama quarterback A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, and Musburger insinuated she was attractive.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yes.
How dare him?
ESPN called Musburger's comments inappropriate when he said, and I quote, What a beautiful woman.
Well, this is truly disgusting, and this kind of behavior cannot be tolerated.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I watched the game, and she was pretty hot, but there is no excuse for this kind of thing.
He should be fired.
Absolutely. Well, maybe you ought to move on before I say something hateful. What do you got next?
Well, in celebrity news, director Quentin Tarantino has come under heavy attack for his use of the N-word in his latest movie, Django Unchained.
Did you say he said the N-word?
Yes.
No.
The dreaded N-word was used over 100 times in the Western about a slave who becomes a bounty hunter.
Holy S, Lindsay. What the F is going on?
Tarantino has defended the movie's use of a multitude of N-bombs, claiming that the film's historical setting justified their use. However, critics including Spike Lee have blasted Tarantino, citing the N-word as disrespectful to black ancestors.
Well, shame on Quentin Tarantino, because there is never a reason why anyone should use the N-word.
Never.
But Quentin Tarantino is just a horrible SOB, and he should burn in H-E double hockey sticks.
Absolutely.
All right, Lindsay. Well, I can no longer contain my self-righteous indignation. Next story.
In lighter news, Jamie Foxx, star of Django, recently hosted Saturday Night Live, and during his opening monologue joked that in the movie he gets to kill all the white people.
That's a good one.
What?
That is funny.
You don't think that's offensive?
Well, no, hon. It's all right to say stuff like that if you're black, or you're a black comedian, or a rapper.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's fine.
So can we say stuff like that about black people?
Oh, hell no.
No?
No, that would be racist.
Oh, I gotcha.
Okay, Lindsay. Well, we're almost out of time, so...
Huh?
What?
Out of time?
Yeah.
This is a podcast.
Right.
There's really not a time limit, is there?
Well, no.
Yeah.
Okay, well, go ahead and give us the weather and the traffic, but just make it quick.
Okay, I'll try.
All right, let's go.
Tonight, look for increasing clouds to the north, starting with rain mixed with snow, which will cause blowing, drifting, and accumulations of 1 to 3 inches in the east, and temperatures in the 30s with a 70% chance of snow and precipitation tomorrow, then drying out by the weekend with chilly air mass and winter storm warnings. Likely after midnight on Sunday, a few showers on your way to work.
No, oh, I'm so confused.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, well, how about that traffic?
We've got a fender bender on 435 in Metcalf, causing a backup on both sides of the freeway. There's a car on fire at 210 and 35 North, with everything at a total standstill at 70 West and Main.
What?
Use precaution if you're traveling on 29 East. There's a cop to the side of the road at the Broadway Bridge, and that's produced a major situation.
Well, Lindsay, I have no idea what you just said, but it sure sounded good.
I know.
You're amazing.
Can you believe it?
And as always, great job, and thank you so much.
You are very welcome.
That was just Lindsay reporting on things in the news.
How is that news?
Before I go, I wanted to say thank you to everybody who supports the show by going to MontyCalvin.net and buying my stuff. Just this week, Jeff in Tennessee commissioned me to do a painting for him. Anthony and Fabrice ordered t-shirts. Jerry in Kentucky bought my CDs. And Kevin in Canada made a kind donation. You guys truly rule, and I cannot thank you enough.
Come on, Twinkle Toes, come on.
No, really, I can't thank you enough.
Do it!
Seriously, once again, thank you.
Okay, that's enough.
Now, I know I did a lot of talking on today's show, but I promise on the next episode, I will play a lot more music. In fact, I'm going to start right now by ending the show with a song off the new Black Veil Brides CD. It's called Nobody's Hero, and I hope that you'll like it.
Probably not.
But that's going to do it for me for now. And until next time, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. And
rock on.
Save me from the
The end.